We are once again in Acts chapter 5. Probably at least one more time, maybe next Sunday, looking at this record of an incident that occurred in the first church that was ever started, the church at Jerusalem. Let's go ahead and read the entire text, verse 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. The young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. A simple definition for perjury is it is a crime of telling a lie in a court of law after promising to tell the truth. It is the crime of telling a lie in a court of law after promising to tell the truth. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can be compared to a court of law in relationship to truth, in relationship to telling the truth, in relationship to our understanding that it is still a sin to lie. The Lord's church, the house of the Lord, can be compared to a court of law. Church, like a court, is supposed to have the highest standard of truth. Church is where you find the greatest expectation of truth. Church is where we have the greatest responsibility regarding the truth. Church is where you find the greatest authority, the judge, and the judge, of course, is God Himself. Church is a place where each member has committed themselves to believe truth, to live truth, to speak truth. We're looking at one of the basics of Christianity, one of the basics of the Word of God, one of the basics of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie. When we find ourselves lying, caught in a lie, stretching the truth, When we find ourselves lying in the church, the house of the Lord, we need to see ourselves guilty of perjury. Lying in church is perjury. And calling it perjury might be a little bit weak. It may not be as serious in our perception as it really ought to be. But when you look at what God did in this first church, the church at Jerusalem, when this couple was found lying to the Holy Spirit, when you look at what God did, then we're reminded that sin in the Lord's church, lying especially in the Lord's church, is not a little thing. It's not a minor infraction, but it's a major problem. We find the Lord, as far as we can tell, and it's my opinion, striking two members of this church dead because of their sin. I've been called to think about that sin that is unpardonable, that sin that is unto death. And the scriptures tell us that that sin that is unpardonable is lying to the Holy Spirit. Lying about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if there are shadows of that found here in our text or not. But their sin, their act of lying, caused both of their deaths. And we have noticed and we have pointed out to you there's more than one way to die. When we commit this sin, it may not result in our physical, literal death, but there are other ways the Lord can pronounce us dead, as we've been seeing, particularly on Wednesday evenings. So this passage of Scripture reveals to us what God thinks about lying, especially what God thinks about lying in one of His churches. This passage of Scripture shows us that there's different kinds of lying, different ways to lie. All they were trying to do is have a certain image. All they were trying to do was look as though they were as spiritual as Barnabas in the previous chapter. They were just trying to portray a false image. And it is described plainly in two of these verses of our text that they lied. I thought about what kind of sin could somebody commit in a New Testament Baptist church today that would be similar? And I'm sure there's many ways of defining that query. But this is one thing the Lord brought to my mind. If you have a church member, member of one of the Lord's churches, and they bring their tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord. I'm just going to simplify my illustration, simplify my example. They bring their tithes and their offerings and it amounts to $10. What does that $10 in the giving of their tithes and offerings speak? What does it say to us? Well, the most immediate thing it would say to me is, well, then they only had $100 income. $10 would be their tithes and offerings. But let's say they came and they brought their tithes and their offerings and they brought that $10, but their income was not $100. But God had prospered them $500. Would that not make them guilty of the same sin that Ananias and Sapphira was guilty of, trying to put forth a certain image, trying to appear a certain way, when in reality it was not truthful. I don't preach much on tithes and offerings. God doesn't lead me to preach on tithes and offerings, and I'm not preaching on tithes and offerings today. But I would say God requires us to give our tithes and our offerings. And there's never any justification for not giving our tithes and offerings. We can't look at the situation of the church and look at how blessed we are and decide, well, the church doesn't need the money, so I'm not going to tithe an offering, give offerings. We can't do that. We can't give the appearance of tithing and giving offerings if we're not really, without it being the same guilt and will bring the same consequence in some form or fashion. Bringing our tithes and our offerings is not optional. We need to make sure our conscience is always clear before the Lord in regards to such matters. We see in this passage of Scripture, and we considered last week, that it's a sin to lie in the context of the church. Ephesians 4, we read a lengthy passage from there. Verse number 5 tells us not to lie one to another in the context of the church. Colossians chapter 3, we read verse 1 through 11, another lengthy reading last week. In verse number 9, I think it is, specifically tells us not to lie in the context of the church one to another. We considered the fact that lying is the action of the old man. When we lie, whether it's in church or somewhere else, whether we tell a blatant black lie or we just fudge the truth a little bit, whatever the story, whatever the line might be, we're not displaying the new man. We're not displaying our Christian side, the seed of Christ which is within us. Whatever way we lie, when we lie, we are showing forth the fruits of the old man, the flesh. That part which is wicked and sinful and depraved and can't do anything pleasing unto the God, unto the Lord. In verse number 3, we see in our text, but Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Not only is lying an action of the old man, but lying is a demonstration of Satan, the way he operates. I don't have any special insight. I just have what I read in the Word of God. I just have what I can compare in other passages of Scripture. And I just have what the Lord leads and lays upon my heart. But it says in verse number 3 that Ananias had his heart filled by the devil. Now we believe commonly that the devil cannot fill. The devil cannot, I think it's a promise that means a lot to our soul. The devil cannot possess a child of God. So would that mean that Ananias and Sapphira were lost, were phonies, were not real church members? I don't think so. I think by Satan filling his heart means that Satan influenced him. And the devil can influence us. He may not be able to possess us, praise God, because the Spirit of God has entered into us and has sealed us until the day of redemption. But the spirit of the devil, the spirit of the world, the way of the world, the ways of the world can certainly influence us. And they were influenced by the devil. And we have to conclude that not only is all lying the act of the old man, the flesh, but all lying is evidence of Satan's influence. We can never blame God. We can never blame God's word. We can never justify lying, whatever the situation, whether it's trying to be politically correct or stretching the truth or trying to keep from hurting someone's feelings or whatever the situation might be. We can never justify lying other than by saying it's giving way to the influence of the devil. So if you're saved, and if I'm saved, and we are saved by the grace of God, does the Lord want us walking according to the old man? Or does 2 Corinthians tell us we're a new creature? Old things are gone. Old things are the past. Old things are not to be repeated. Old things are not to be habitually a problem in our lives. The old man has been crucified with Christ, and we're to walk according to the new man. So the Lord would not have us living according to the ways of the old man. Would the Lord have us influenced by the devil? Would the Lord have us being influenced by Satan himself, as it is obvious that they were? I don't think so. Because we're not only not the new or the old man that we were, we're the new man created in Christ Jesus. But Ephesians 3 tells us we're saved by grace. We used to walk according to the course of the devil. We used to walk according to the ways of the God of this world. That's the used to be. The new man, the new creature, the Christian that we're supposed to be is not supposed to be under satanic influence. The Gospel of John chapter 8. Turn over there. John chapter 8. Begin reading with verse number 40. Jesus Christ speaking here. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. Jesus Christ could speak very bluntly, couldn't he? And he speaks very bluntly here in this passage of Scripture to these religious folks who didn't like what he had to say. He speaks very bluntly that they were under the influence not of God or even of Abraham, who they may have claimed as a spiritual father, being Jewish. But he called them out as being of their father, the devil. So lying is of the devil. He was the liar at the beginning. He was the beginning, the beginner of lying. He came there in Genesis and gave birth to lying. Maybe even before then, he may have lied in his attempt to overthrow God before he was cast out of heaven forever. Let's go to the book of Titus, chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You ever think about what God cannot do? You ever considered the scriptures teaching on certain things God cannot do? It's obviously there are things God cannot do. This passage of scripture makes it very plain that there are at least one thing God cannot do. In verse number 2, God gave us the promise of eternal life before the world began. God promised, and God cannot lie. So lying is the fruit of the old man. Lying is a demonstration of satanic influence. And we need to be reminded that God cannot lie. If he cannot lie, he does not lie, never has lied, never will lie. That means a lot when we consider the subject on Sunday nights. It means a lot when we consider our eternal security. And it means a lot when we take comfort in the hope of heaven, the hope of eternal life, and persevering to the end and being saved in the end of all things. Means a lot when you know God promised all these things. Therefore, they're sure. Therefore, we will persevere. Therefore, we will endure unto the end because God promised and God cannot lie and has not lied ever to his people. But speaking the truth, not just doctrinally, not just scripturally, but speaking the truth factually, speaking the truth as the genuine God of the universe, speaking the truth as the real authority in the courtroom, speaking as the judge, God cannot lie. And we have to ask ourselves, are we showing forth the old man or the new man? Are we walking according to the old way or the new way? Is the devil influencing us? Or is God having made us a new creature? Are we demonstrating God is our Father? When we lie, and I'm really not talking about the occasional slip, though the occasional slip, a little white lie. I'm not talking necessarily about those things that occur occasionally, though they're just as offensive to God as anything. But we're talking about this habitual telling of lies. It's not possible for somebody who's truly saved and who's a true child of God to have the habit to be a habitual liar. But that's the way lying works. You tell a lie, and before you know it, you got to tell another lie to cover up the first lie, and before you know it, you're into the third lie to cover up this trail. And you eventually get to the place where I say, you don't even know what truth is anymore. Before we get out of this study, we're going to find out that's a serious thing to consider. If you get to where you don't even know what truth is anymore, and you're telling one lie upon another lie and showing demonstration of being a habitual liar, you've got serious spiritual concerns. Because lying is the way of the old man. Lying is the way of Satan. Lying is something God cannot do. Look back to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, verse number 19. God is not a man that he should lie. God's not a man. I think that reflects on the fact that lying is something that comes pretty easy to man. Lying is something that comes natural to a man. As I said last week, nobody has to be taught to lie. We come forth speaking lies. What we have to be taught is to tell the truth. It comes natural to man to lie, but God is not a man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God cannot lie, is again what this passage in Numbers impresses upon our minds. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse number 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. A God of truth. God that cannot lie. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Read verse 17 and 18. It says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He gave his word, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. In the Gospel of John, I think we referenced this Wednesday night, we reference it often, but in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verse number 6, Jesus declares he is the way, the truth, and the life. So we think about lying, the serious nature of lying anywhere, anytime, in any way. But we consider the serious nature, maybe the more serious nature of lying in relationship to God's house, lying in church, whichever demonstration of lying we might choose, we come to the conclusion that Acts chapter 5 is found in the Word of God, and the ugly little story that is found here is here because God wants us to understand that just because the Old Testament says, thou shalt not lie, does not mean the New Testament doesn't say the same thing. God wants us to understand that just as serious a breaking of the command as it was in the book of Exodus chapter 20, it is just as serious a breaking of God's command and God's word when you get into the doctrines of grace and you get into the era of grace and the time of the church. Nothing has changed. God's people ought not to be called liars. God's people ought to be known for truth. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. Wednesday night we talked about how that means he was truth as far as doctrine, as far as scripture. He was the word of God. But he's also truth because he spake truth. He never lied. He's also true because he is the genuine article. He is God in the flesh. And God would have us to understand that it is still just as serious a sin to lie in 2022 as it's ever been. And it's just as serious a sin, if not more of a serious sin, to lie in church and commit this thing we're calling by the title of perjury. Next week, Lord willing, we'll consider what we referenced briefly last week, the miracle of death. Their lying brought about a miracle. We spoke of this last week. The way they died was miraculous. The way they died was not expected. But because of their sin, because of their being caught lying to the Holy Spirit, because they're caught lying to God, the judge of the courtroom, God struck them dead. And in the miracle of death, there are many things we need to learn about lying. Revelations 21 tells us, and I'm getting ahead of myself, that all liars are outside of the Lord's eternal kingdom. All liars shall have their part in the fire that burns forever. Liars are without. As you look at eternity and heaven, the new heaven and the new earth, well, who's not going to be there? Who's not going to be there in that place? Liars. Not the liar that slips every once in a while and confesses and repents, but the one who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is habitually lying. I don't believe the scriptures support they're going to be there being found in that eternal kingdom that Revelation talks about. Lying is something that always catches up. They conceived this lie. They carried out this lie. It caught up with Ananias first. Then it caught up with Sapphira. But it caught up with both of them. And it caught up with the church. They were all witnesses to this. And they all feared. And they were all caused to kind of go back on their heels and say, whoa, this is more serious than we might have understood. Lying in church is perjury. Again, I think that might soften it. That might make it a little bit more palatable than it ought to be. But lying is sin. And just as you and I were taught when we were children, lying is wrong. Our parents dealt with catching us in lies in various ways. Just as we were taught, we need to teach our children the basics. That's a burden the Lord has laid upon my heart, the basics. Our children aren't being taught the basics anymore. They're not being taught the basics in our society, in our culture. They're not being taught the basics of those Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments are removed and cast out and are called a bad influence. So we can't have those in our schools. But just as we were taught, I put before you, as we sit here as members of this church, nothing has changed. No matter how old you live, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you have lived, doesn't matter how long it has been, how much time has passed since you were first taught the basics of thou shalt not lie, it is still the way we need to heed and pay attention to today. Thou shalt not lie, and God help us not to lie in church above all. Let's stand together.